Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Welcome. You are listening to Insert Here, a sex podcast where lust and learning meet. I'm your host, Kate Warren. And each week I host a new guest who shares their non-heteronormative experiences and perspectives with our listening audience at home. That just means that they share their experiences that aren't traditional penis in vagina, male on woman sex. So whether you're cisgender or genderqueer, whether you identify as straight or gay or somewhere totally outside of that binary, we all want to be having great sex. Because we're humans and it feels good to feel good. So, but getting good at that means sometimes getting outside of your comfort zone to try new things and learn what is out there, because you don't know what you don't know. And Insert Here is here to help. Because my guests have a lot to teach those of us who are just sexually curious or not quite sure how to dip a toe into slightly more adventurous waters. And each show combines personal storytelling that will change the way you view gender, sex, and intimacy with practical knowledge that you can apply between the sheets. Because there's no such thing as normal. So grab your strap on and enjoy the ride. Today, I welcome one of my oldest friends in D.C., the incredible Mundy Spears.
Hey.
Mundy is a D.C. area native who is a gender non-binary artist, musician, and teacher who makes work meant to create inclusive spaces and overcome labels. They use their future funk and soul music to emotionally connect with and inspire all kinds of people of all ages and backgrounds, spreading the word that it's awesome to be loud and proud about who and how you are. From their music to their contemporary pixie punk style, Mundy is distinctively themselves. And I'm excited to welcome them to the show. Hey, Mundy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
So I'd like to take a quick moment to point out one small thing from the introduction, which is that this episode we are using they and them pronouns.
Yes, appreciate it.
No problem. You know, always on Insert Here when we do our little pre-interviews before the show, I make sure to ask folks what labels they prefer and what pronouns they prefer, because I think if you can learn someone's name, you can learn their pronouns.
Totally. And I always appreciate the question, because a lot of times I don't get an option because of the way I look.
You present as very female.
Right. So people assume that gender and that's what I get, you know. But okay, when given the opportunity to choose, I would love, yeah, I love to have that open.
I love that. And we'll get more into kind of labels and pronouns a little bit later in the show. But to start out, why don't you walk us through your art practice and kind of what it means to create inclusive spaces?
Yeah, well, so I sing and I'm a dancer and a storyteller, you know, so I've started producing my own events where I can really have full creative control over what art is being presented and who's able to enjoy it. So
what does that end up looking like?
The way I see it is, maybe if I just bravely live my loudest, truest self, mm-hmm. then maybe that will create a space that will embolden other people to do the same.
That's hard to do and really scary, right?
It's really scary. Definitely scary every day, but I don't really see it as a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, this is who I am, and mm-hmm. And it's literally my job and life purpose to put that out there to help lift other people up.
I mean, and that's such a great way of looking at it. I think so many people, I think probably the majority of people, really struggle with how to be the most themselves and who that even is. Mm-hmm. And you've done the hard work of figuring that out, and now you're creating spaces where other people can like feel playful,
yeah,
to figure that out from themselves, which I think is amazing. Like, what a gift.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I hope so, you know, and maybe put them in a situation where they would find themselves next to someone they wouldn't normally be around, mm-hmm. you know, make them think about things in a different way, maybe. But
well, like we do with the show, you know, we try and have lots of different perspectives And you're and this is, at the end of the day, the show's about making space for people to speak for themselves, and you do that too.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, and everyone should be able to, you know.
Yeah, and your social cohort is so diverse in their expressions of gender and sexuality, I feel. Can you kind of walk us through an example of the mix of people that are usually there? The kinds of people that that people can expect to encounter?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I definitely don't ever label any of my events as one specific type of party. Like, I would never call it just a queer event or something like that, because there's no because the lack of labels is the exact point.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you would literally see every part of the spectrum. I have a lot of friends that are amazing drag queens, but then also people that like to wear women's clothes but are not drag queens, right? Mm-hmm. These are important distinctions. I have a lot of friends that are trans, you know, everybody, you know.
Cis people.
Yeah, lovely little white hetero couples from Virginia come to my shows and they have a great time too, you know.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, because I think the ideas that you're sharing are really universal to the human experience.
Truly, and that's the whole point, right? That the human experience doesn't have to be gendered.
Right. Or labeled at all.
Right, and neither do personality traits.
Right, right.
Right, like what I'm presenting on stage sometimes confuses people because I look somewhat femme, but I'm not presenting to them their concept of a feminine energy.
Right, right? Totally. Well, and for those of you sitting at home listening, Mundy has an amazing bright orange hawk that she cuts herself. And her measure for cutting said hawk is her ability to grip it fully in both of her hands and shake it around.
Yeah, you got to be able to get a proper handful. That's
yeah,
the guideline.
It's great. It's super rainbow bright. It's amazing. Yes. And they wear amazing latex or spandex and metallic colors, or really kind of new way of feeling things. There's a Cyndi Lauper influence that comes in.
Yeah, totally. Super into 80s vintage and stuff like that. But that was what was so great about the 80s, right? The fashion was so gender free.
Yeah.
You saw all these absolutely. Women in these beautiful power suits and
Men wearing makeup and
yes.
with huge hair.
Yes, and being beautiful.
Right. So gender expression really is very trend based. Also, you know, haircuts come in and out, makeup comes in and out of trend, and who wears that and how they wear it is very subject to trends as well.
Yes, and definitely in my earlier life, I did find myself often trying to conform to what was considered attractive for a female.
Oh, okay.
Right? What someone that looks like me is supposed to do in order to be attractive to anyone.
Okay.
Right?
Interesting. So what did that performance look like?
Well, I mean, I never could accomplish it, which is the whole point. But, you know, it was dresses and stuff that, you know, which maybe I could be in a mood for occasionally, but
right.
it wasn't comfortable. When, you know, right. I felt like I was more in drag.
Oh,
when
interesting.
When I wore a dress.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
I'll do it all the way, like a proper queen, but, you know.
Right. But you're performing the idea of that gender. And ultimately, all any of us are doing is performing gender, right? Mm-hmm. What does RuPaul say? We're all born naked and the rest is drag.
Absolutely.
You know, so a man in a tuxedo, that's drag. A cisgendered male in a tuxedo, but a lady in a tuxedo can also be drag,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a female bodied person in your case in a dress is drag.
Right.
But dressed in metallic rainbow colored Cyndi Lauper is expression of self.
Totally.
Which I think is awesome. And it's interesting because I hosted a big, very queer art opening last week.
Yeah, you did. It was so fun.
it was great. And it was a really fun mix of all different kinds of people. And so many of my straight identifying cis male friends sort of surreptitiously came to me and asked if they could wear nail polish. That was their, they're like, I've always wanted to wear nail polish.
What?
And these, including my boyfriend,
oh.
who is a big corporate African-American guy who's African. And and he looks, and he's a built dude who looks really masculine. He's I have always wanted to wear nail polish.
Aww.
can I wear a nail polish at your party? I'm like, honey, yes, I will paint your nails for you.
Yes.
You know, and at least a half dozen of my straight male friends who are like, yeah, I just want to do like, you know, a dark midnight blue, something very classy, you know, because to them, like it was equivalent to like, you know, putting on it like a masculine leather bracelet or a necklace, or it's just sort of like one additional way to express themselves that doesn't necessarily have to be tied to gender.
Yeah, and it's good for people to play in that way.
Yeah. I mean, so how do you create an environment of playfulness at your events? What are some of your like your key things that you
do? I try to create an environment of like space. Right, because like out in space, we can be free from all of the societal norms here, right? Mm-hmm. And also, if I'm an alien, it's a little easier for people not to gender me, right? Like if I'm an alien or a cat or something, it's easier for people not to gender those creatures. But I don't know.
How do you feel about, so you used the word alien, and I know you sort of identify with that imagery in your art practice. How do you feel about the othering of that?
Well, I've always felt very other, so that's okay with me.
Just
I'm kind of just
that.
In. I'm just kind of owning it.
Cool.
Rather than trying to become something that I'm not, you know.
Right, totally.
And a lot of times, people are like, "I don't understand what I just saw, but it made me feel things."
Good.
You know, and that's really all I'm trying to do.
Right. Connect people with human emotions, the human emotions that we all share.
Right. Really, and you know, maybe by telling this really off the wall story set in space, maybe some of these themes you might connect with your own experiences in your own life, but putting it so out there can kind of take away any preconceived
cool
notions of things.
Provide kind of a fantasy context.
Yeah.
Where
some escapism.
Any of the normal quote rules don't really apply.
Exactly. And I obviously am not a fan of rules. but the only rule that I do have at my events and that I talk about in between my songs and stuff is kindness. And I talk about this concept of a love revolution. And it sounds like kind of hippy dippy, but it's really not. I think that it takes a lot of like a true sign of resistance to stay kind.
Yeah.
In the face of all the horrible things that are happening every day, right?
Oh my God, absolutely.
So it's just that concept of like fighting for the right to that love does still exist in this society.
Right.
You know, and I was blessed with a loving upbringing and with an environment where I was taught not to judge other people or myself, you know, so I've been able to hold on tight to the belief in love despite my outside experiences, right?
And that's so
which have been
important.
Mostly scary and not nice, but I've held on to the kindness, and I really feel strongly that the love revolution is, you know, like I tell my kids, like the best, my students, you know, the best act of resistance is kindness.
Yeah,
absolutely. To people that you don't know that well, people you maybe don't have anything in common with.
Right. Right. Anyway. Exactly. So you said, you know, you've had a really warm and loving upbringing, and that's so lucky to feel accepted by your family for who you are in that way, because not everybody has that experience.
And it's something I'm grateful for all the time. I realize it's such a privilege. I really do.
And so why do you think that the outside world is so kind of tied to these labels that we're talking about?
I mean, when I studied psychology and they talked about in-group, out-group mentality, and that's associated with comfort, like it kind of explained some things for me that people need labels to understand how they connect, right? How do I relate to you? Do you fit into this group that I'm in?
Yep.
You know? But yeah, how do we find the space where we can only connect on humanity levels instead of those label levels?
Right, exactly. You're connecting about shared experiences or emotions and less about you know, who do I want to project onto you?
Right. Totally.
You know, like, oh, well, are you a woman or are you a man? Like, no.
Right.
Purple.
Right. Or yes. And
if we're taking the improv comedy approach. Yes.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So in light of yes. And can you walk our listeners through what being non-binary means to you?
Sure. Yeah. And it's funny because I've always felt this way, but I've only recently, because of our sociopolitical environment and the growth that's been happening like in our country and in this world right now, like that I've been given the words to explain it.
That's awesome.
You know, like I only recently was gifted the term non-binary and I was like, oh, that's me. Oh.
Did that feel like such a relief?
Kind of, you know, but clarifying those labels for myself didn't simplify relating to people in any way.
No.
Right. So, right. You know, so yes and no. But
it's hard, right? Because also once you kind of identify like, oh, non-binary, like that feels good, then you can start to seek out other people who have sort of also related to that term and that experience and ask them questions of how they navigated things and do reading about you know, all the other people's shared experiences and figuring out kind of how to order and talk about your experience and seeing kind of like what you have in common with them.
Right. And like, I have friends that are trans, but I don't have a lot of friends that completely claim no gender. And the only people that I've met have been people that are in the indigenous community.
Cool. Okay.
So that's the only place where I've encountered other truly non-binary humans.
So what's the tradition of non-binary thought in indigenous communities?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like in the old ways, we had every tribe had at least 3 to 5 genders, right? There was never only 2 options.
So when we say indigenous, we're referring to North American indigenous peoples.
Yes.
And these themes of multiple genders, as Mandy was saying, was a cultural kind of norm across many, many, many different tribes.
Yes.
So this is not, you know, restricted to one small group of people. This is a school of thought that was widely accepted.
Absolutely. And revered.
So walk us through kind of what those 5 different things were.
Right. So every tribe, no matter what, had the third, which was Two-Spirit.
Okay.
Right. And so there's male, female, and Two-Spirit, which is both.
Okay.
Right. But the 5 genders are male, Two-Spirit male, female, Two-Spirit female, and Two-Spirit.
So when you say Two-Spirit, what does that mean?
And
what masculine and feminine energy.
Cool.
You know, which I truly believe everyone is a balance of masculine and feminine energy.
Totally.
It's just like where that balance is.
Right. So when you say female Two-Spirit, that's someone who identifies more kind of on this female end of that.
Like I think spectrum. I would probably be identified as a female Two-Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Because
cool.
I look like a female. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely a Two-Spirit.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. I really love that.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's so fascinating.
So
when did that stop being used?
I mean, excellent question. Probably around the time of the genocide of our people that were here first, you know?
Yeah. So that was part of the cultural cleansing that happened.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. And that's always confused me. Like, why do we only have 2 options? When there are so many people from the beginning, like, from the beginning, we had at least 3.
From the beginning of time, right.
Right.
And a lot of times in these ancient cultures, that third gender was revered as being spiritually elevated.
That's what I'm saying. They were the priests and the shamans and the, you know, the people that were more connected to the spiritual world.
Right. Well, and now in certain Latin American cultures, trans individuals are still revered that way. They're seen as sort of like risen above traditional binary gender.
Yeah.
And that they must know some secret of life that they have, that they identify in that way, which I think is really amazing.
It's wonderful.
Right. Like there is a certain, and that, cause that implies a level of enlightenment, right. To really look at gender and say, and be enlightened and say like, oh, you know what? Like that binary, that male female binary is really restrictive.
Yeah.
And you don't actually have to buy into it.
Yeah. And as soon as you take away that third option, you leave like a third of the population left out, you
right,
know?
Right. So, you know, there is a lot of conversation about, you know, third gender options happening in America right now. So for instance, California recently passed the Gender Recognition Act, where they designated non-binary as, and gender in general as something that people can opt into. That is the case here in Washington, D.C., in Washington State, in California, and then legislation's also being considered in Massachusetts and Vermont currently,
awesome.
Or in New York and Vermont, rather. And when they, but it's, I personally find it to continue to be problematic, so I'm curious to hear your thought, because the language that they use, they talk about, quote, replacing the physical description of reality, about gender, aka like describe your genitals to the government with, quote, a description of feelings and self-identification. So they take it from describe your physical body to the government to describe your self-identification to the government. But that still allows, that still grants the government permission to weigh in on your gender.
It's incredibly personal. It's
and
invasive.
Thus politicize and like weigh power, like sway power over you. With
yeah.
That.
I mean, when you check mail, when you check the mailbox, they don't ask you your penis size.
Right.
Why would they be asking people about their genitalia? It's really
right.
Extra.
Well, and to, and I think what they're doing in California is really great, especially as we have conversations about trans rights and inclusion and genderqueer inclusion and navigating these conversations and sort of like taking a step away from the gender binary. But ultimately, it's this conversation is still happening within that gender binary. You're acknowledging, yes, male, female totally exist. And a lot of folks who are gender non-binary don't believe that those that the binary even exists.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
It's pretty much along the lines of me believing that, you know, everyone is a balance of masculine and feminine energy. Right. Mm-hmm. And I do think that if the concept of binary gender was not so deeply ingrained in our society from the beginning of time, like what color our room is when we're born, I don't think people would be so hung up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because ultimately, like, that gender binary is used to subjugate women.
Yes, I really truly believe that the binary system was put in place to keep people down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, good, bad.
Yep.
Right? It, strong, weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
dom, sub.
Yeah, it's good that we're having these conversations more now. And obviously, like, the Gender Recognition Act in California is a great step for a lot of people, but it's that, it's a step.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a final destination, I don't think, in this conversation. But it will take like societal conversations like this and societal acceptance and exposure to all different kinds of people, including gender non-binary people.
Yeah. And you know, like this isn't, like this is something that I love to talk to you about, like as we're like chilling, you know, and like it's, but like in this kind of setting, it's definitely not the easiest thing for me to talk about. But I think it's so important that we're having these conversations that
Absolutely.
It's worth it.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
You know.
And with that, we're going to take a small break. You have been listening to Insert Here, a sex podcast where lust and learning meet. Stick around. We're going to talk about fucking.
Yeah.
Theme song and break song for Insert Here, produced by Morris. We'll be right back.
Full Service Radio. Welcome back. You are listening to Insert Here, a sex podcast where lust and learning meet. I'm your host, Kate Warren, and today I am joined by artist and musician Mundy Spears. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
So before the break, we were talking about what it means to be non-binary, different ideas of the relationship between masculine and feminine and gender queer people and you know the history of ideas of gender in different indigenous cultures. So now I'd like to come back and talk a little bit about before we get into the juicy juice, we'll talk a little bit about pronouns. Because I think pronouns are a place where a lot of people in mainstream culture in America kind of start to get a little worried because they don't totally know how to navigate the whole pronoun thing. So why don't you walk us through kind of like the conversations around pronouns in your social circles that are happening?
Yeah, well, you know, I have friends that are trans that have really done a lot of effort, you know, to embody the gender, the pronoun that they want, and to be, you know, received as that gender. So the pronoun is everything to them. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Completely.
Right. We have to fight and go through hormone therapy and stigma.
You know, and it's every day. And and being misgendered can really make people feel bad. So it's very important, you know, and it's very important to me that I get pronouns correct for other people, right?
Right.
For me personally, it's the whole point for my conceptual, like, everything is just that I don't want gender in the situation at all. I don't want to be gendered.
Cool.
So, you know, so I don't make a thing about people using certain pronouns for me. Like, most people will just, I don't usually get asked what pronoun I prefer
because of the way I look. So femme.
Right. You know, so I'm not going to make a thing about it when someone says she.
Right.
Because it's cool. It's fine.
And you went by those pronouns for
most of my life. Right. Exactly. So it's cool. But I always appreciate being asked.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing, you know. And I recently wrote my very first professional bio using they, them.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And it it was like kind of difficult. I wrote she, and then it just felt like a lie.
Yeah.
So I deleted it and I wrote they, and then I got really scared and I put she again. And then I ultimately went with they, and my employer read it and was like, I didn't know that you preferred a they, them pronoun. I'm so sorry if I have offended you by gendering you this whole time. And I'm like, no, it's cool. You know, like, I appreciate that, but you know, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But that was so nice. That reaction was so considerate from this cis woman, you know, so.
Well, and it's interesting because for a little context, like, we started our friendship like almost 7 years ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago. And there was a period of about 2 years where we weren't really in contact that much. And we recently reconnected because I was hosting you at a photo shoot for this project called Banshees that I do, where I shoot women, quote, women, women with a Y or an X, and being angry. And, you know, and we host,
fighting back. Yeah.
Yeah. We host these salon style feminist discussions and have conversations about what contemporary feminism means. And then we take pictures. And so you came and I did my little spiel in front of our small group. And you took me aside and you said, hey, like, I haven't seen you in a little while, but actually I identify as non-binary now.
And I was like, is it okay that I'm still here? Like, because you said it was for female identifying people. It's like, am I a spy? Okay.
No. And I was so glad that you came and talked to me about it. And then, because that created a space for us to be able to have that larger conversation with the group.
Yeah.
About that. And I love how candid you are about the journey. And even just now, like, sharing, writing your process of writing that bio of, like, being really uncertain about what pronouns to use, like, I think that's really relatable and really human, that lack of uncertainty, right? Like, no, not everybody pops out of the womb like knowing the answers to all these questions,
right?
And all of us, just as humans, are trying to figure out, like, who we are and how we fit into this world and how we think about ourselves and how we think about others. And your story, I think, is really inspiring in how you share your journey and how compassionate you are with yourself about your journey. Because I think we can all use a little bit more compassion toward ourselves.
Yeah, that's something I work on every day too.
You know, so for folks listening at home and wondering, like, okay, like, how do I navigate this pronoun thing? You can always ask. I think you can always ask, like, hey, what are your preferred pronouns? And then, like, just as you would learn their name, learn their pronouns.
Yeah, and you can always speak up. You know, it might be that initial awkward moment of, actually, I prefer they, them. But then the people around you are relieved that they know what you're comfortable with being addressed as.
Right? Yeah, so how have you found people's reactions to be as you've sort of been coming out as non-binary?
Right, like, that situation was really refreshing. She was like, I'm so glad you told me.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was actually really cute. They put a little cartoon of me in the bio that was like the super, like, little non-binary, like, little anime character. I'm like, oh, they get it.
That's, I mean, nice. That's totally you. You are a non-binary anime
little
character.
Anime character. Yeah, that's basically me.
I love that. That's really awesome.
And when I, like, talk to my parents about it,
oh yeah,
like, you know, my mom's like, well, yeah, you're, like, omnigender.
You're just Mundy.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm all, you know, exactly. So yeah. it wasn't even like
it
coming out.
Sense.
It was just like, well, yeah, this is how you've always been.
Ugh, I love that. I think that's so great. I'm so happy for you.
Well, you know, like I said before, like clarifying these things for myself has not necessarily made it easier for me to find people to relate to and be in relationships with, but it's good for me and my self-love journey.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction. So let's talk about dating as like sort of newly non-binary and kind of what your dating and sex journey has looked like.
It's what it's turned into is celibacy, really.
Okay.
because what's ended up happening is I've just turned all of that love and sexual energy that I have that I would be giving to a partner, and I've put it into my art.
Cool.
And my music, so that I can give it to a lot of people at once.
I kind of love that.
And in a safe and consensual way.
Yes, always. Yes. And the spaces you create like are really infused with that love and that sexual energy. It's a hot show, y'all. Come through.
Right. It's not like just like love and kindness, like sex.
No,
like
it's raw.
Like pain.
Yeah, she's grimy.
Ragged. Like
they're
you
grimy.
Know. Yeah.
See,
shit happens, you know?
Right. Like, and this is a good example, right? Like I called you by female pronouns for years, and now I'm still like learning, okay, cool, they. And
yeah.
we're moving on.
And it's fine. It moving and it's all good. Exactly.
Right, right. So this sort of self-imposed celibacy, like not wanting, with the idea of like not wanting to settle.
Yeah.
So how do you make yourself your own primary?
Well, that's been a real journey, you know, and a real discovery. But my most recent attempt at having any kind of relationship with someone else was a poly situation where they were poly. Mm-hmm. And the concept of polyamory makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. So conceptually, I was like, yeah, this sounds great. You know, but polyamory means that you have so much love, you want to love more than one person, right? That I get. But it requires so much honesty and communication, which is really difficult for people. And it's easy to accidentally get into the realm of polyfuckery.
Oh, right? Yeah. Okay. So
there's a difference.
Yeah. Designate polyfuckery versus polyamory.
Right. Exactly. So.
So polyfuckery meaning like.
Meaning I want to fuck whoever I want and I don't have to tell you anything about it or, you know, tell you what my status is.
Acting like a fuckboy out here.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But
as opposed to open, transparent communication, creating a space that is consensual for everyone.
Yeah. Which sounds like a great, you know, I mean, sex with more than one person can be so much fun. So a polyamorous relationship sounds like a blast conceptually.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to be willing to put the work in to communicate and create that space where everybody is signing up, knows what they're signing up for, and they're signing up for the same thing.
Yeah. And when you're giving all of your love to someone who literally doesn't believe in love, that can be very hurtful, right? And
yeah.
What that taught me was that I need to be my own favorite.
Yeah.
Right. So that was what really prompted.
That's awesome.
That journey.
Well, and frankly, finding somebody who wants to put love first the same way you do.
Like, yeah.
Which is beautiful. I think it's great to talk about not settling because like, you're beautiful, like just like
you.
In general, physically, emotionally, spiritually, like you're a beautiful human.
Thanks.
And like we all know that you could go out and like get somebody, and like find somebody to have like consensual casual sex with at the drop of a hat. Like,
I guess
you're like, hello, there are several waiting holes here. Like, please apply. But at the end of the day, like. You're looking for more than just physical stimulation.
I am, and I'm a sapiosexual. Like, I'm not attracted to someone unless we have an emotional connection. I'm not.
I think that's beautiful. And not everybody feels that way, but I think it's great.
Not everyone feels that way. Some people feel the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I know some people that can only have satisfying sex with strangers.
Huh.
Like, they need to not know that person to truly get off.
Also, I want them on the show.
I know, right?
Yeah, because it's that diversity of experience that I find to be so fascinating and why, you know, I think Insert Here is really interesting. So what would you, you know, we only have a few more minutes, but what would you tell anyone who is dating or interested in dating someone who is non-binary?
Just treat them like a good human, like you would anyone else.
Yep.
And yeah, I would just say just like in general with everyone, just try not to gender stuff so much. You know, everything right. in our world is so gendered.
Oh, yeah. Just treat people like people.
Yeah.
Folks are just folks.
Yeah.
And regardless of who you like to have sex with
or how you like to have sex.
Right.
Right.
Or if you don't like to have sex at all, like, you're still a person. Like, that is okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Mundy. This has been really awesome. And it's been so special to share this conversation with you. And I've known you for so long.
Yeah, this is awesome. And hopefully next time we talk, maybe I'll have a juicy story of how my celibacy ended.
Yes. I'm here for it.
Yes.
Well, thank you all for listening. You have been listening in to Insert Here, sex podcast where lust and learning meet. You can find us online at inserthere.fullserviceradio.org. Stay horny.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.